What is up, boys and girls, everything in between? It's Bear With Us. We are finally back. I'm still Matt. She's still Leah. Leah, how are you, my dear?
I am amazing. I miss doing this so much.
It's been a while. It's been far too long. And you are amazing. I will agree to that based solely on what went down this afternoon as we were setting up our home rig. Shout out to the crew at Rode for hooking us up with all this dope equipment and Emilio for helping us with the process. But it was my beloved Leah that set the entire home studio podcasting rig up herself while I napped today.
I mean, what can't this girl do? I set it all up, no problem. I didn't even follow a tutorial, a video, nothing. I did it all on my own. I'm very impressed with myself.
I was extremely impressed. I was sort of dreading doing it. I had planned on doing it after I had woken from my nap.
Although I will say the many years I spent in my grandparents' basement trying to rig like VCR to DVD back and forth to watch the
underground porn operation.
No, like when you would, I forget why it was always such an issue. We'd have to take like the VCR from upstairs because my grandparents were watching TV. We'd have to move it down into the basement so my friends and I could watch, you know, we'd go to a video store, rent a VHS, we'd have to hook it up and we did it all on our own. So I'm going to credit back to those days.
Isn't it amazing that like my kids, for example, have no idea what a VHS tape is?
I know. Well, we watched that documentary not that long ago, The Last Blockbuster.
We both screwed that up. The Last Blockbuster.
What did I call it?
It was wrong because we both, I don't know, tripped on our tongues. You've been drinking. That's not my fault.
Yes. Well, that's the beauty of being able to podcast from our office at home. I can wear my sweats. I can drink my wine. Let me take a little sip here. So good. Oh, you guys, I am just on cloud wine right now. Anywho, let's just get right to it. Let's address the rumors here.
What rumors?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I went through a lot of the DMs on the Bear With Us Instagram, and a lot of people were saying, oh my gosh, did you guys break up? Are you guys fighting? Is that why you haven't been podcasting? I think we need to address that.
Well, those people are wrong. Full disclosure, we actually planned on taking a few weeks off because our real life jobs that actually pay our bills.
WrestleMania
season. Yeah. It's the busiest week season of the entire year for us year after year. So we were fully prepared to take 2 weeks off and come back refreshed, rejuvenated. And then my schedule changed. Yours stayed the same, but now we are on two separate shows, two different brands, and our free time together went from about 6.5 days a week to 2 days a week.
Well, no, if you're going to go 2 days a week, then we have to say, then we had 5 days a week together. If you're going to say it like that.
Okay. Regardless, I get lost in the semantics of all this, but the fact is, our schedules changed and we didn't have the time to do this. And in the midst of doing this, when we didn't have time, we were trying to set up this home office and it's about 75% complete.
But yeah, I think it was important for us to adjust to this new schedule without having to worry about, okay, well, we have to do the podcast. We had already taken a few weeks off. We're like, let's just extend the hiatus for a little bit so we can adjust to this very real change in our lives. Like we talked about it a lot on the last, since we started the podcast, and I know I complain about it quite a bit. We spend all day, every day together. That's like what I always say, but it's true. We spent all of our time together. So to go from 7 days a week to now, I mean, you say 2 days, but we have 4 days together. Two of them are spent with the kids and two with just ourselves. So it's been a huge adjustment for us.
So anyway, we did not break up. Bear With Us lives on. A lot to look forward to. Big things happening. We've actually got some really cool news that we are going to throw your way somewhere near the end of this here episode. But what the hell have we been up to for the past several weeks?
Oh my gosh. Well, man, it's just been kind of a whirlwind at first. It was kind of like, we're just saying, going from spending all this time together to now not, I'm able to miss you. And like, I feel like I'm looking forward to like the days that we do get together, which has been an adjustment, but it's been cool. And I think we're making the most of it. But I will say, I have missed you guys so much because Matt, many times over the last month and a half, has put his foot in his mouth. And I feel like, oh my gosh, I just wish I could ask the listeners to see what their opinion is on this. Because of course, he tries to find a way to talk his way out of it. Starting with my favorite thing that you have said to me over the last month and a half. So I recently started taking this course because I have a wine called Capo Caña. And I started this online course that's all about building your brand, building your business. And the second week, it said, ask the people closest to you, like your partner, your parents, your friends, some of the, the things about you that are, you're really good at.
Some of your best qualities.
Best qualities and things that you're really good at. So I asked my mom, I asked my sister, you know, they said things like, you're funny. You like to make people laugh. I'm very organized, fashionable, just like random things like that. And so I asked Matt, I said, could you please tell me what are my good qualities? Like, what am I good at? And he tells me, well, you're really good at having like multiple personalities.
You're really good at being different people. Here you go
the time.
With revisionist history. I said, I appreciate how talented you are at many different things. It's tough to organize just one thing. Like it's tough to balance and be talented and good at multiple aspects of life as you are. It was a full-blown, really nice, well-meant compliment. But you, in your never-ending ability to twist the words that come out of my mouth,
my God,
have decided to turn it into, oh, you say I have multiple personalities? No.
Okay. I was joking, but it was just funny how you were like, you did not word it like that at the get-go. And then you started being like, oh wait, yeah. I mean it like this. And then when I actually understood what you meant, of course I took it as a compliment, but the way you said it initially, you were like, you're really good at like being different people.
No, that's not that literally never happened. It never was worded as such. Maybe you read it wrong. Maybe you misread the statement because it was not,
well, you said it in person. So.
Okay, well, even better. So you misheard me.
I misheard you or you misspoke?
No, I didn't misspeak. I said what I meant and I meant what I said.
Oh my God, you are impossible.
No.
Impossible for a green yellow pumpkin to become a golden cabbage.
It's a plain impossible. Yellow pumpkin. A plain yellow pumpkin, not a green yellow pumpkin. There's no goddamn such thing as a green yellow pumpkin.
Okay, I was just singing it. Like just how I make up my own lyrics. No. Let me live my life.
That sounds like something that somebody who doesn't know the lyrics to many songs would say.
Right.
You just make words up.
Right. It's more fun that way.
It's not fun.
It is fun.
I hate that. That is like my biggest pet peeve, not just with you, with people in general. When they go, I'm living on a prayer. It's like,
oh my God. Well, okay. Not everyone knows everything like you.
Well, that's fair. I mean, listen, it's so lonely.
We can't all be perfect.
It's lonely up here in this here castle.
Yeah. Tell me more about that life.
I'm envious of the fact that you now just get to lounge around in sweatpants while we do our podcast.
Although I did put some makeup on today because ladies listening, I did go to Sephora today. If you go to Sephora, you know that there are two different trips that you take. Number one, you're just going to pick up the things that you ran out of. You know what you're looking for. And then the second trip is like, you have time to waste and some money to spend. And you're just going in there and you're looking. I mean, the amount of time I spent up and down each aisle, like, oh, do I need this? Or, oh my gosh, maybe I do need this. Like things that I would never even use. So I really, like, I have a huge bag of Sephora makeup and I had to wear it today. I had no reason to, but you come home, you want to try it all out. So it's basically like exploring in Sephora.
Is Sephora the reason that my shelf that I custom built and hung in our shower is now not big enough and there is stuff once again on the floor of the shower because you need to buy body shower oil?
Babe, I like to try new things and I had to get some face wash, but I really, really enjoy an exploration in Sephora. Today, I was basically like Dora the Explorer in Sephora. Okay, I really made myself laugh on that.
Oh, I caught that.
Dora the Explorer in Sephora. Come on, that was good.
I mean, it was certainly something. Okay. And for the guys listening to this, the best way to enjoy your girlfriend's trip to Sephora is to stay home and watch King Kong versus Godzilla or Mortal Kombat, things that have nothing to do with Sephora.
Yeah, I like to do my own thing. Please do not come to
Sephora. Oh, trust me. I know how much you love to do your own thing. So much so that you have worked out our schedule to where I see you 9 minutes a week now.
Oh my God. Are you seriously going there?
Sure.
How have I worked our schedule out that way? Please tell me.
It's complicated. It'll take too long to explain to the people. Okay.
9 minutes a week.
Basically.
Okay.
That's essentially where we're at.
So that's essentially like when you get home from
work. We're out of time right now. Sorry. Gotta go.
I've seen you all day. You napped. So because you were napping, I went to Sephora. Okay. What am I going to do? Watch you nap. I love you, but I'm not going to sit and watch you nap.
I mean, I think watching me nap would probably be a great pastime.
You are so self-absorbed. It's disgusting. But well, what else? What else has happened in the last few weeks? Do you have anything that comes to mind?
Well, I was actually headed somewhere in my thought process until we took a detour to Sephora, much like any time we go to the mall.
Sorry, I know. I just had to talk about it.
I was going to reference the fact that you wear sweatpants and sweatpants only now. And it was a discussion that we had a few weeks back where women have an unfair advantage that they get to wear yoga pants. Yoga pants are acceptable everywhere. Right. You can wear like a, as you would say, a cute top with yoga pants and your Gucci boots, and you can go out. Like we could go do functional things or go to a nice dinner, or you can wear your yoga pants.
Say this, I would not wear yoga pants to a nice dinner.
You know what I'm saying? It's socially acceptable. Not saying it's fashionable, but it's like, no one's going to go, oh God, look at that girl. She's just wearing yoga pants. People are just like, no, women just should always wear yoga pants because they're the greatest invention alive. And I'm not saying that from a dude's perspective, like, oh, it makes your butt look great, which it does. That's a side note. That's a side perk, a side benefit. The fact is dudes don't have an equivalent to yoga pants.
Right. You said,
and it's not fair.
You said this to me a few weeks ago.
I just said that I said this.
I know. And I'm just saying, when you said that, I've really been racking my brain in the last few weeks to try to figure out what the male equivalent is.
There isn't one.
I would say like joggers.
No,
like, because joggers are cute, but they're comfortable and you can dress them up. You can wear like a nice pair of like Jordans with joggers and you're like, okay, like it's cute.
Maybe I'm just old fashioned and I just feel like a crummy piece of garbage if I wear sweats or joggers anywhere.
Says the man who lounges around our house in jeans.
Right.
So yes, I can see why you would think that.
And I'm wearing my jeans right now and I'm as comfortable as can be, but it's not the same as like yoga pants. Like jeans have, there's effort that needs to be involved when I leave the house. I have to make sure I still to this day am one of those, I hate sneakers and jeans.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not right.
I think it's cute. Like even on guys, it's cute to wear like Jordan ones or something. Like,
I hate it.
With jeans.
It's fine.
So let me ask you this. Where is this coming from deep down? I've been watching a lot of therapy shows lately. Where is this coming from that you feel like you have to leave the house dressed like this presentable way? I'm not saying leave the house dressed like a slob, but you say you can't go out in sweats. You can't go out in joggers. Like what? Why?
I don't know.
You grew up that way? Like,
no, it was never anything forced on me. I just think like, oh, I'm going to go interact with other human beings. I should look presentable. And you yourself even said the other day, I think the phrase you used was, I'm always put together when we leave the house. Like it's different right now. Like I'm wearing a chopped up 20-year-old t-shirt and these jeans because I'm comfortable.
Right.
But this would not be socially acceptable in many situations. If I were going to a concert, sure. If I'm just running to the convenience store, absolutely. But I wouldn't wear this to dinner somewhere. If we were going to go to the place, one of the places down the street, like not even a fancy restaurant.
Down the street.
I said down there. There was a T-H-E in
that's
there.
That's a Pittsburgh thing.
Down street. That's a grandfather thing. There we go. It's been a while since I've lost my train of thought due to a Leah interruption.
One of these restaurants down the
street. I would put on at least a different shirt and sneakers that Chuck Taylors basically and are the only acceptable sneakers to me.
You feel good?
Right.
Or you feel like it's like a courtesy thing or like it's.
No, I feel
for you.
I do it for me because I feel like I'm together. Like I don't feel like I look like a slob. I hate the thought people could see me and go like, ooh, like that dude doesn't care. Your outward appearance is what you're showing the world. And that's what you're right, wrong, or indifferent, what you're judged on first and foremost.
Right.
So I'm like, okay, if I look like I know what the hell I'm doing, like I'm not dressed like a complete scumbag.
Yeah.
No, and I feel like I will be more prepared to do whatever it is that I set out to do, or in the event that I, you know, run into somebody that I haven't seen forever, or, you know, somebody that I want to approach, if I'm looking like a slob, I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to kind of go my own way and then think, damn, I would have liked to have met that person or talked to this guy. Right.
There's two different ways I look at it. Like one, I can go out all the time in sweats. I don't really care. Like to me, I'm comfortable. I have no one to impress. But also we had this conversation. I can't remember how long ago it was. I said to you, especially when I'm not with you, we live downtown Pittsburgh. So it's like, you know, there's always people around, always something happening. When I go out of the house and I'm dressed up, and I'm not saying this to be like, oh, like to like toot my own horn, but I'll constantly get like
cat called.
When I'm not with you, I'm wearing sweats. I'm wearing a hoodie. I'm wearing a hat. Like I try to stay, like keep a very low profile because I don't feel like being harassed. And it's something that I think maybe that's why I'm at a point now where that's just become normal for me, unless like we're going out together or, you know, I have you with me, then I'm like, okay, now it's okay for me to be dressed up or not, and not even dress up like heels and all that, but just something form fitting. That's not sweatpants.
By the way, it's 2021 and you still get catcalled. This is something that you bring up to me at least once a week.
Yeah.
You go anywhere. And I think to myself, even when I was younger, it was a stereotype of construction workers hooting right. and hollering. And I always thought like, that's just a construction worker thing that they do. And nobody actually ever does that. But apparently I was wrong and people still think that works. I want to know if anybody's listening to this, if you can contact us, slide up in the DMs or the mailbox or email us, however you get here. Has anybody ever successfully picked up a member of the other sex with a straight up catcall?
Or have you been picked up?
Or have you? Yeah. Like maybe some women are into that. I don't know. I mean,
it's so to me, because I want to be like, oh, it's flattering. Sure, it's flattering, right? But to have to, I was walking to the doctor's office around, it was a couple blocks away. And I texted you. I was like, I am so annoyed. Like right. the amount of, and it's not even like, oh, I just want to tell you, miss, you're so beautiful. It's not that. It's, oh, baby, look at you. Oh, where are you going, honey? Oh, hey, sex. It's like, fuck off. Like, how do you think that is okay?
Right. Well, I just want to know what is, I mean, I don't think I'm speaking out of line when I would say it's probably 99% dudes that do it. I don't think I've ever been catcalled in a rude manner by a female in my life. I'm sure there are exceptions, but it's just so weird to me that at what point along the line in your life have you thought this is probably going to work?
Right.
And if you know it's not going to work, why the hell would you put that out there? Like, why would you, what do you get out of it? I get if you're with your boys and you want to make a joke like, oh yeah. Okay, great. But usually that's pretty harmless. And it's usually like a one and done comment to make.
Most of the times it is harmless.
Right. But it's just so weird to me. Like I've never in a million years, and maybe it's just because I'm not the most confident dude walking the earth, but to be like, oh, hey, you look good. What are you doing? You want to go get a drink? No, that's weird,
you're
man.
Different. You're like a different breed. You're respectful. You are a gentleman, I would say. Like it happened to me when I was with the girls a couple of weeks ago. We were walking to Starbucks and some guy said something. And they, of course, I think it's over. Like, oh my God. And like, tell dad, make sure you tell dad. Like they think it's funny.
Right.
And I said, well, you know, and I try to make a lesson out of it to them. You know, the oldest is 11. So I was like, you know, that's why I love your dad so much because he would never say anything like that. He's not that type of man. And I think that's important for them to know, like, okay, not that I'm saying they're going to think that that's okay, but I just tried to look at it as like a lesson rather than, oh God, another moron or whatever, saying something. So
yeah, I am as guilty as anybody of being, you know, the phrase toxic masculinity is thrown about a lot these days. I still like men to be men and to be gentlemen and chivalrous and all that stuff. Yeah. That's one thing to me that I'm like, okay, that can go away forever. I can't believe that's still here. Catcalling and that sort of just that mentality as a whole. Like I see why people think that's gross because to me, even as a guy, that's gross and demeaning and disgusting. There are lines to be drawn. That is like, that's just so weird and unacceptable.
I think subconsciously, that's why I leave the house and I feel comfortable in my sweats and in my yoga pants. Like to me, that's just where I feel comfortable because if I'm putting in the effort to get dressed up, it's like, ugh, I don't feel like dealing with it.
You think that if I left the house in yoga pants, I would get catcalled?
100% because your dick would be just outline would be there and everyone will catcall you because you have a beautiful body.
Oh,
a beautiful behind. That, okay, here's an update for you guys. And I've been dying to let you know. I still have not entered the butthole.
Nor will you ever.
It sucks. I try and I try. Sometimes I try to like make him drink a little more. I'm like, babe, have another beer.
I'm not willing to let that entrance be breached.
Well, I'm still going to work on it. Oh. And I'm going to put an effort and I'm going to manifest it. I'm going to put it out into the universe. But I did just mention talking about therapy, right? So I feel like I have to share this with you guys. I am so obsessed with this new show. It's on Amazon Prime. It's also on Showtime. I don't know how it's on both. It was free on Amazon Prime in the month of April, but obviously it's not April anymore. but I'm just letting you know, maybe
this week in useless Prime. Television information.
Or you can find it on Showtime. It's called Couples Therapy. It's not a reality show. It's not like, it's a reality show, right? I guess because it's real, but it's not a reality show in the sense where it's like,
it's not like a game. It's not like a, it's not like a, there's no gimmick to it. Right. It's just it's
basically just a therapist and she has her practice in New York City and couples come in and they talk to her and like, nothing is off the table. They talk about everything. And I felt like it was really important to let you guys know to go watch this because
they will give you better advice than we do.
Yes, 100%. But also not only that, like there's two seasons. So throughout the course of the seasons, you can see the growth that these couples are making. You see throughout the course, like they sit down and you're like, oh my God, they're not going to make it. They talk about, I want to give up. I don't want to be in this anymore. And then you see the growth in their relationship and you see how they change. And it shows them too, just kind of like walking throughout the city, just like B-roll of them walking. And you're like, oh, if I get this random couple on the street, I would think they're so happy and things are perfect. But then you see them sitting down in the studio or the office, the therapist's office, and you're like, wow, they are not at all how they look on the street. And I think it's important for all of us to realize and recognize that everyone has issues. Everyone has problems. You can act like everything is all fine and dandy, but it is absolutely not. And then you get to know these couples and you see why they are the way they are, because most of the time it's something that they went through in their life or just the way they grew up. And that's why they act the way they do towards their partner. And I think we all can do a little more like self-reflection and realize, you know, we're not perfect. And if we're having an issue in our relationship, we need to dive into ourselves and see what can I do better? What can I be better at? What should I work on? And the show is just such a great example of that. So I really, really, really recommend watching it. It is so amazing.
As deep as you've dove into couples therapy and all of the things that you've learned that have been helpful to you, do you have any advice for someone, say 35 to 40-ish, who is otherwise perfect when it comes to relationships and every other aspect of life, regardless of how they grew up or why they are the way they are? I'm asking for a friend. It's definitely not me.
Look in the fucking mirror and you're going to see a motherfucking liar.
Why do you have to get all vulgar?
Because I just like to. I'm almost a glass in and I'm getting vulgar, but I will say I have something to say. Like I read a few quotes.
You will say you have something to say.
You're distracted.
That's a hell of a declaration.
Listen, okay. This is one quote that I had to write down when I was watching the show and I had to share with you guys. Okay. Everyone has a fantasy in their heads of what they want their partner to be, but they're never going to be that. So you're setting yourselves up for failure with this unrealistic expectation that will be undoubtedly be disappointed. So we have this idea in our head of what we want our partner to be and how we want them to act and how we feel they should be, but they're never going to be that. So we have to stop putting that pressure on our partner to be this thing that they're never going to be. Just let them be themselves. So we're already setting ourselves up for failure by having this certain expectation of our partner. And I just feel like
I expect my partner to realize that I am perfect. And I realize that you will never come to that. You will never accept that. So I work around
the point of delusion in our show. And it's,
I've slept like 6 hours in the last 3 days. I am beyond delusion right now.
My poor little baby.
Should we give him, stop it. Stop it. Should we give them the cool news?
Yes. Tell them.
I'm allowed to tell them. I'm allowed to drop the news. You know what? Let's give them the news after the mailbag.
Ah, you're a little tease. I love that. Can we continue that on after the show?
If you're still able to walk upright.
Babe, I haven't even finished one glass of wine. Anyway, it's been such a long time. The wine is really good to loosen up the pipes. Here's the mail. It never fails. It makes me want to wag my tail. It's great because I have this big mic I can hold like I'm on stage. Makes me want to wag my tail. When it comes, I want to wail. Mail! That felt so good. All right, here we go. Question number one, honey. Hey, Matt and Leah, so glad you're back. Listened since episode one and finally decided to email in. Obviously, with the pandemic and everything, meeting people has become even harder. So online has been the only option, really. Is there a way to ever start a conversation in someone's DMs without coming across as intrusive or a bit of a creep? As a single male, obviously starting the conversation is primarily on me, but I always just seem to think if I messaged, it would seem a bit creepy and by saying, hi, I saw your profile pic, et cetera. Any advice? Thanks. Okay, what do you have to say as a dude?
I would just say, first of all, bravo for being self-aware enough to realize that it is creepy and weird, particularly when you're sending a DM to somebody that you don't know.
Yeah.
If it's somebody, even if you've interacted with, whether you met them at a bar or a party, or they're a friend of a friend, if you've got some sort of icebreaker that's already happened, way less creepy. However, if you're just scrolling Facebook or Instagram or whatever, and you go, oh, this chick's kind of cute. I wonder if she'd like to go out on a date with me. That's weird. Think about it this way. If let's take technology out of it. If you're walking down the street and you see an attractive woman and you just roll up and say, hey, do you want to go out with me, or like not catcalling like we were talking about earlier, that's kind of weird. I mean, that's not to say it will never work.
Oh, yes. It happens for sure.
Yeah. It's, I appreciate the discretion on Mark's part. That said, I have never,
let me go back on that. How else do you ask someone out? Like if you just see someone on the street, or if you're out at a restaurant, or if you're walking out and you see someone, like, I feel like that's not that weird.
No, it's not.
Like, hey, I think you're really,
but I think face-to-face contact is exponentially less creepy than a DM, because there's always that veil of anonymity. You may have a profile picture, but how the hell do I know it's actually you? Right. In this day and age, catfish and all that sort of crazy stuff, it's definitely kind of weird.
I have an idea of what they should say.
What?
You look bored. Should I chat you up?
Oh my God. There it is. Wow. You look bored. Can I chat you up?
For those of you that are new listeners, I, for some reason, thought that back in the beginning episodes, genuinely believed that was a good idea for a pickup line. And I was very, very, very wrong. Anyway. I thought that was a good.
So do you have any, as a female?
Yeah,
can I say this?
Yeah.
To the best of my recollection, I have never DM'd a female that I did not know personally or in some capacity prior to in any platform, aside maybe from like MySpace, because I was like a kid essentially. Yeah. And that was still new, and that was before catfishing really became like public knowledge. Just kind of had that innocence, like, oh, well, this girl's pretty, I'm going to follow her. What did you add them on Facebook? Right. I haven't had Facebook in 12 years, but usually you don't go straight for the DM. You would leave a comment on a picture or something and kind of break the ice. And it's like, oh, okay. That's way less creepy. So there you go, Mark. I didn't realize I had advice for you. Break the ice some other way rather than going straight into the DMs.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad idea. If you like comment on a photo, like if it's not even something like you're beautiful, like sure, girls like to hear that. But I think if you have like a funny thing, you can comment on the photo and then maybe she sees that and she's like, oh, who's this? Like, that's kind of funny. And then maybe she goes and follows you or whatever, maybe something like that. That's not a bad idea. But I'm thinking maybe it's just something as simple as you send a message and you're like, hey, I know this is really fucking weird. I don't know how to do this. And I don't know the right way to go about it. I just think you're cute. And I was curious if you wanted to chat, or like, can I get your number or something? Or just like something, acknowledge how weird it is.
Acknowledge the awkwardness.
Don't slide in and be like, hey, you're beautiful. Let's you know, something like that. I think you have to say like, hey, I know this is really weird and this isn't something I normally do. I don't even know what to do. Actually, don't say this isn't something I normally do, because then automatically she's going to think, oh, sure, it's something you don't normally do. She'll just make that assumption. But just say it's weird and you don't really know what to say, but you just feel like you need to talk to her.
Yeah. Maybe that's kind of, is that charming?
If
somebody was honestly just going, hey, I suck at this. I don't know what I'm doing, but I've been locked in the house for like a year and I just want to talk to somebody.
Because I'm stuck in my house.
Yeah. Because in another 6 months and they'll be feeding me with plates under the door, like Leatherface.
I don't even know if this is good advice, but if you can take a little bit from what Matt said and a little bit from what I said, but I really want to know, like, if you do this, you please write it like right back in so we can see what you said, like send us screenshots of your conversation. I want to see. I'm very nosy.
And you can send that one directly to our DMs, Mark, because you've broken the ice with this question.
Yes. We don't think you're weird. Question number two. How would you handle a child that is upset with you because his parents are separated? The child will go to his mom's one weekend and the next is at his dad's. He has 4 siblings at his mom's and 2 at his dad's. Mom blames dad for the child missing out on things they do on the weekend. But mom tells the child it's the dad's fault if he were to miss a party. We've tried to explain to the child we didn't know about it in advance. And now, because this has continued to happen for a few years of them planning things when he's at his dad's, the child doesn't enjoy coming over on the weekends anymore. They would take the kids camping, theme parks, birthday parties, and many other things. The dad tries to plan things on the weekends. He has his kid so he can do fun things, but the child is starting to resent coming over.
So this is a slippery slope and there's a lot more to it and no two instances are the same. So all I can offer is advice from my perspective and how I have had to deal with similar situations, maybe not to that extent, but having 3 kids of my own, and my ex is what is referred to as the custodial parent. You know, they live with her most of the time, but we have split custody. It took a while, as you are all too familiar, before we got back to a reasonable place. And it's of the utmost importance to remember, none of this is the fault of the kids, right? You and your ex or your partner or wife or whatever you guys were, you split up for a reason. None of those reasons should be blamed on the kids. So my ex and I have gotten to a point, thankfully, after all this time, that when it's something that pertains to the kids, scheduling especially, she actually writes me up a schedule of baseball and different events, softball practice and different games. Events. Yeah, anything pertinent that I may need. And there are times, honestly, where I know I've confided in you, where I go, oh my God, man, I only have my kids 2 days a week and we're at the baseball field all day, or I got to drive all the way to here and I wanted to go do this fun thing. We could have gone to the trampoline park, but instead we have to go to practice. And, and it does impede on the limited amount of time that I have with them. And that does suck, but you always have to be very cognizant never to blame the other parent. Yeah. And I mean, again, there's a lot more qualified sources to read and research all this stuff. I had to take a parenting class during my divorce and they kind of covered all this stuff.
Yeah,
you can never blame the other parent for something like that, because it sounds like that's exactly what's happening. Your kid's starting to resent hanging out with you just because he knows he might be missing out on something better. And that's dirty on your ex's behalf, but you can't always control who they're with or how they live after you guys split. You split for a reason. You got to let that go. Let that be. All you can do is try to figure out a compromise. If you guys can figure out a schedule, that is very, very helpful. But my son's at the age now, even my older daughter, she wants to have sleepovers with her friends. And during the school year, when do sleepovers happen? Friday, Saturday nights, right? Yeah. And that's usually the nights, you know, the weekends are when I have them. So there have been times where I go, oh man, this sucks. I really would love to hang out with my son, but he has an opportunity to go to camp with his friends or his cousins or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a case by case basis, but the important thing is to never, ever blame the other one or say, oh, see, you could have done this, but you went with your mom. Or, well, I know you're supposed to go to your mom's, but if you stay with me, I'm going to do. The more you make it a competition, the more it's going to continue to unravel and you'll never win. Nobody will win. And the kid will end up screwed up because they are still inclined to love mom and dad, regardless of how rotten they are. That's why you hear all these stories. Oh, people fall out with their families and 20 years later, they reconnect with their dad because it's like a natural instinct. You want to at least connect with these people. That's probably the same for your kid. And again, I can't speak for every instance, but focus on not blaming her and just be the bigger person. If it's happening, if that's what you're eating a bunch of crap because she's telling him this, that, or the other thing. Yes, it sucks. Just be the bigger person. And as I always say, play the long game.
Yeah. And I think to just piggyback off of that, if you know, the mom is, if it, let's just say, for example, this is the mom is, or I think she did say it. The mom was saying all these terrible things about dad. Okay. Doesn't mean you go say terrible things about mom.
Right.
Just let mom say what she has to say because the kids are probably at an age right now where they're just listening to their parents and they're doing what they have to do. But eventually the kids are going to grow up and they're going to figure it out and they're going to know, oh wait, this wasn't really true. Dad didn't want to like not be with us. Dad just was doing what he had to do. And I think the older they get, they're going to realize that. So, and they're going to realize that you're not speaking trash on the mom, even though what she's doing is wrong. That's not okay. But like Matt said, just be the bigger person and it will all work out in the long run.
That was a heavy one.
Yeah.
Some heavy lifting. What do you say we lighten the load a little bit with some good news?
Let's hear this news, baby. You've been talking about this news. You're like a newsboy.
I'm like a newsboy.
Yeah. You know, the newsies. You're like the newsies.
Like, isn't that a Disney movie?
No, it's like a musical from back in the day.
I think Disney made it. Newsies. I think it's a Disney musical. You can take your time. I don't know it. I'm not going to sing it.
I thought I was waiting for the news.
Oh, the news.
This is one time that I wasn't going to sing, but if you insist.
Oh, I was.
Then let me get the.
No. No, I trust me. This news will overshadow whatever vocal disharmony you provide. Great news, everybody. Bear With Us is on YouTube now. Our wonderful team has gone all the way back in the archives and slowly but surely they're chopping things up. They're adding things. The page will continue to grow. So follow all of our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, the mailbag, and keep your eyes peeled. It should be dropping today, Thursday, the return of the Bear With Us podcast and the debut of the Bear With Us YouTube channel. You can go back and watch all of the past episodes as they populate and you get a little visual pleasure to go with your audiogasms that we provide every week. You like that, babe? Audiogasm?
I love that.
I think I just made that up.
Trademark it.
Well, I mean, it's going to go out into the public now. My dad would say. So someone's going to beat us to it.
Damn it. Well, I'm very excited for it. It's been really cool to be back. I'm very grateful for the opportunity.
Did you just win an award? Did you just fail an audition?
I'd like to thank
I'm grateful
all of the,
for the opportunity.
The little people out there.
Wow.
No, but seriously, I miss doing this. I miss just being ridiculous and stupid. And I mean, I know we.
I got great news for you, baby. You've never stopped.
Babe.
Goodbye forever.
You're with us.
She's only a half a glass in, guys.
Babe, relax.